This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 19th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at the career of operatic tenor Jerry Hadley, who took his own life and died yesterday. We'll also get a forecast with Mike Sola, and we'll take a look, first of all, at today's news. Prosecutors in Douglas County say they're considering seeking the death penalty for two Chicago men accused of murdering a sheriff's deputy. William Thompson and Yusef Kareem Brown were both charged with first-degree murder yesterday after the death of Chief Deputy Tommy Martin. Martin died late Tuesday at Carl Hospital in Urbana, where he had been treated after being shot in the face and torso June 21st. Thompson and Brown had already been charged with attempted murder in connection with the shooting and the related crime spree in Douglas County. They face other charges as well, and Thompson himself is charged with taking hostages at a bank in Arcola that day. None of the hostages was hurt. Public defender Jim Lee says he may ask that Thompson be tried outside Douglas County. State lawmakers yesterday honored Sheriff's Deputy Tommy Martin. Republican Representative Chapin Rose of Mahomet requested members of the House observe a moment of silence.
Every one of us in this chamber, I think, knows how much those who serve us in uniform do to protect our society, and certainly Tommy Martin was doing just that.
Rose says funeral arrangements are still pending. Martin was a native of Tuscola and was the father of two. A tentative agreement on electric rates for ComEd and Ameren customers represents a long-awaited compromise between top Democrats in the Illinois legislature, and it could have implications for the stalled state budget. If it's successful, the deal could bring $1 billion in rate relief over the next 4 years. Some lawmakers had threatened to oppose any budget plan until their constituents got a break from skyrocketing electric bills. Mike Lawrence is the director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University.
If there is a satisfactory negotiation on the electric rate increase, it will eliminate a barrier to getting a budget agreement approved.
But Lawrence says electric rates are only one barrier to passing a state budget. He says the governor and Democratic leaders are still far apart on some basic deficit and revenue issues. Illinois state government's ability to get a new budget in place could have consequences for school districts. Sean Crawford has that story.
Schools start getting funding from the state early next month. Most rely on that money to pay bills, including teachers' salaries. But schools, like many other entities, are still waiting on state leaders to approve a new budget. If no deal is reached by next month, the state has a couple of options. One would be to pass a second temporary spending plan and keep the money flowing. If they don't go that route, the state could face a government shutdown, and schools would be among the hardest hit. Linda Riley Mitchell is with the state's Board of Education.
That would impact schools opening, and that would certainly impact tens of thousands of students across the state if that were to occur.
A majority of schools could use local property tax money to fill the void until the state budget is settled. But about one-third of counties don't collect property taxes in the summer, leaving districts in those areas in more of a financial bind. Mitchell says the only other alternative would be to borrow money, but that's costly, as schools would have to repay any loans they take out with interest. Everyone involved in budget talks at the state capitol say they want to resolve the issue before it creates a problem for schools, but it's yet to be seen if lawmakers and the governor can meet that goal. I'm Sean Crawford.
Federal officials say Indiana's rollout of its privatized welfare program has broken federal food stamp rules by bypassing state employees in some cases. The criticism is in a letter to the Family and Social Services Administration obtained by Associated Press. In the letter, a U.S. Food and Nutrition Service official said his staff has observed people applying for benefits without talking to state employees, as required by federal rules. In response, the FSSA says it will order more training for workers in county welfare offices. Indiana risks losing millions of dollars in federal funds if it doesn't fix the problem. Earlier this year, the state signed a 10-year, $1.2 billion contract to have a private company process and automate welfare paperwork. If you suspect government officials or employees of corruption, don't keep it to yourself. That's the advice from a new task force that set up a telephone tip line in Illinois to weed out public corruption. Five state and federal agencies have joined the effort to get people in central Illinois to call in if they suspect public workers are taking advantage of the job. Roger Heaton is a U.S. attorney for the Central District of Illinois. He says there's no excuse for not reporting a crime.
It's not enough to complain at the coffee shop or to express your disapproval over dinner to your friends. If you know or strongly suspect that corrupt conduct is occurring in a government office, then you have a civic duty to share what you know so that we can do something about it.
While callers can remain anonymous, Heaton says checking the caller's credibility does ensure the success of investigations. The tip line extends from Danville to Springfield to the Quad Cities, and the number to call 24 hours a day is 1-877-U-TIP-OFF. That's 877, the letter U, TIP-OFF. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The death from suicide of American tenor Jerry Hadley touched many people here in Illinois. Hadley died Wednesday after he was taken off life support following a self-inflicted gunshot wound. While his singing career took him around the world, Hadley was an Illinois native who studied music at Bradley University and the University of Illinois. He often returned home to visit, perform, and teach. AM 580's Jim Meadows talked with some of Hadley's Illinois friends to gather their memories.
When he arrived at the University of Illinois in 1974 for his graduate studies, young Jerry Hadley planned a career in music education, not performance. Still, his vocal talent stood out, according to his old U of I schoolmate, Carolyn Paulin.
He had never seen an opera, he said, but he auditioned for the Magic Flute and got the role of Tamino and asked Eric Halverson, who was also there at that time, if that was a good role. And Eric said, yes, it's a very good role.
Wie stark ist nicht ein Zauberton, weil holde Flöte, durch dein Spielen, selbst wilde Tiere Freude fühlen.
Hadley would sing the Tamino role many more times, including this performance on a 1991 CD. By then, he was one of America's top lyric tenors, performing at major opera houses around the world. Thomas Schleiss, manager of the U of I opera program, was another one of Hadley's fellow students in the 70s. He says Hadley had a remarkable voice bolstered by good training.
You know, there was a lyricism that was very touching, you know, and he modeled himself after the great Italian tenors, like maybe Di Stefano and people like that, but he had a very intelligent technique. And for this reason, you know, the voice actually lasted a fairly long time.
Jerry Hadley often came back to Central Illinois to give recitals and master classes. And his pride in his Illinois roots showed in his commissioning composer Daniel Stephen Crafts to compose music to the poetry of another Illinois native, Carl Sandburg.
I was born on the prairie.
Hadley premiered The Song and the Slogan at the University of Illinois in 2000. A subsequent public TV production of the work won a regional Emmy. Barbara Headland helped produce the work and played cello in the performance. She says Hadley's devotion to The Song and the Slogan revealed qualities that were usually concealed.
As much as he portrayed this image of a happy-go-lucky personality, and he told a lot of jokes, and some of them were terrible, but Jerry was actually a very brilliant man. He loved history. He read voraciously. And you were sort of amazed because he'd go from telling you this just horrendous joke and then he'd start quoting poetry of Carl Sandburg.
But news reports of his suicide suggested that Hadley's cheerful demeanor masked growing problems. The news coverage pointed to a recent divorce, treatment for depression, and difficulties with Hadley's singing voice. The obituary in the Los Angeles Times said Hadley had once been one of America's most important opera singers. An unkind cut in the view of a longtime friend, accompanist, and former professor, Eric Dahlheim. He says Hadley retained a fine voice even as he entered his 50s.
Jerry probably experienced a loss of some high notes. perhaps his voice thickened a little bit, but he'd always had flexibility. He had beautiful diction and this, artistically the sense of shaping phrases. His sense of style in different languages and genre was just absolutely amazing.
My world is dust now.
Dahlheim acknowledges that Jerry Hadley in later years was not the high C tenor who sang the title role in this Grammy-winning recording of Leonard Bernstein's Candide. But he says Hadley remained a generous and adventurous singer who kept his focus on the music and his audience. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
We have one more day of rain to consider for most of the two-state area, though the threat of rain doesn't entirely move away from Illinois and Indiana through tomorrow as well. Mike Sola says in northern and central sections of the two states today, mostly cloudy with still some showers and thunderstorms. Some of them could produce heavy rainfall. In the south, partly sunny and humid with scattered thunderstorms developing late in the day. And a flash flood watch is in effect for much of central Illinois and portions of northern Illinois and western Indiana until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Highs today ranging from around 80 in northern Illinois to 94 in the far south. In the north tonight, clear to partly cloudy. In central sections, mostly cloudy overnight with showers mainly during the evening. And in the south, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. In the forecast, the lows from around 50 in far northwest Illinois to 66 in the south. For tomorrow, in northern and central sections of the two states, mostly sunny. In the south, still mostly cloudy with showers and a few thunderstorms in the morning, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. And highs from 72 in northern Indiana to 84 in far southern Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.